Perek Vav, and the top it's Pei, and the bottom it's 302. Well, we didn't learn for a few weeks, so just to catch up to what's going on over here. The Alter Rebbe basically asked the question, what? Page Pei on top. Based on what we learned before, the Alter Rebbe asked the question as follows. He said that there's a power of Hashem keeping the world in existence. Without that power of Hashem, the world doesn't exist. So therefore, based on that, the existence of the world is basically Hashem. So the question is, if the world is bottled to Hashem, why do we see the world and not Elokus? If the reality is that the world is Elokus, why is it that when we look at the world, we see world, we don't see Elokus? So the Alter Rebbe started explaining there's a concept called Tzimtzum, which is the name of Elokim. And just like it is, Kishem Shumogin Hashem Elokim, like the sun and the protective shield around the sun, the two names, Havaya and Elokim. So Havaya is the revelation of Elokus, Elokim is the concealment of Elokus. So basically, Hashem has an infinite power, but that power becomes limited and concealed. So therefore, when you look at world, Hashem concealed himself in such a way that you look at world and you don't see him. Even though the symptom itself is Elokim, which is really Hashem, nevertheless, Hashem is so great and we can't understand it. Hashem covers himself with himself, and yet we don't see him. That's basically what we learned until now. So he says in Perek Vav, Vine Shem Elokim, the attribute of Hashem, and just one more detail before we go further. All these various names of Elokim, of Elokus, all these various names of Hashem, refer to different attributes of Elokus. Meaning, like we learned many times, the concept of a name, for yourself you don't need a name. If you're the only one, you don't need a name. The concept of a name is to be identified with somebody else. If somebody else wants to call you, somebody else wants to talk about you, somebody else wants to say something about you, it's the way you identify with something else, with world, but you yourself don't need a name. Therefore, all the names of Hashem... Huh? What? You're speaking long distance. You got to speak louder.
I said, why not? It's entertaining.
That what?
To name things names, including yourself. Adam Arishon named animals and whatever.
Yeah, but he didn't name himself. Himself doesn't need a name.
Because Hashem called him already. He called him Adam.
Right, but a person himself... Hashem called the mothers to be identified with Chava, and, you know, she could have said husband, and she's the only one anyway at that time. But there's only, it's for the person to be identified with world. The person himself doesn't need a name. The seven names of Hashem correspond with the seven midos of Hashem. Kel is Chesed, Elokim is Gvura, Yudke Vavke is Teferes. These are all the various names of Hashem, which reflect and refer to the way Hashem reveals himself or interacts with world. If Hashem is revealing himself or concealing himself, this is the way Hashem is interacting with world, not the way Hashem is by himself. So he says, what is the name Elokim? The name Elokim is Shem Midas HaGvura VaHatzimtzum, the attribute of strictness, of severity and tzimtzum. L'chein uGamkim b'Gematria HaTeva. Therefore, Elokim, which equals 86, is the same numerical value as Hateva, the nature. Why is Elokim the Gematria Hateva? For Shemastir Ha'erd Shelemaila, because it conceals, the name Elokim conceals the revelation of Elokus from above. Hamahava Umechaya Ha'ilam, that creates the world and makes it exist. V'nir, and it appears, Kilo Ha'ilam Eimed Umisnahig B'derech Hateva, as if it's acting in a natural way. The Alter Rebbe explains, what is the word Teva? Teva comes from the word Tubu B'Yamsuf, sunken in the sea. What is the definition of Teva? Teva is something which is sunken that you don't see it. When something is sunken in the ocean, you don't see it, you see only the ocean. Teva refers to those things that are so concealed, you don't see it. So therefore, what is the why is Teva nature called Teva? Because Teva means Elokus, which is so concealed and so sunken in the world that when you look at the world, you don't see it. That is the level of Elokim, because Elokim is the level of Tzimtzum, of Gevura, of concealment, and therefore Elokim equals 86, because HaTeva is also 86. So the name Elokim refers to that level of Elokus that we don't see. Not that it's not there, it's that we don't see it. That means, like he says, that the world should be able to function as Mother Nature, to the extent that people say there is no God, Chas v'Shalom. That comes from the fact that Elokim allows that to happen. Meaning, Hashem himself allows himself to be hidden in such a way that he's not seen, even though the existence of the object that he's concealing himself from is dependent on the level of Elokus. And if there would be no Elokus in the object, it wouldn't exist. Yet Hashem is making himself hidden in a way that you don't see him, even though he's the entire existence of it. And the Rebbe is saying, not only is it mechaya it, makes it, gives it life, but it's mahave, it creates it. And like we learned in the past, if you have a battery, okay, you have an engine in the car. The engine does not create the car. The engine makes the car move. It's the life of the car is the battery. Even by a person, Chassidus explains, the neshama does not create the body. The neshama gives life to the body. Therefore, even when the neshama leaves, when a person passes away and the neshama leaves the body, you don't disappear. Why? Because the neshama doesn't create the body. The neshama gives life to the body. By Elokus in the world, it's not only that Elokus makes world alive, but Elokus makes the world exist, because if Elokus would leave, there is no world. Yet, the concept of Elokim is Hashem hides himself in Teva, in nature, in such a way that Elokus is not seen. What is a miracle? When Elokus is revealed. What is nature? A constant miracle. A constant miracle is called nature because you don't see it because it's so constant. And you put a seed in the ground and out comes a tree. And the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west. And you have all the things that happen because it's so common on a regular daily basis. So therefore we don't see the Elokus.
You know, why did Hashem make this all so complicated?
He's bored.
I mean, he wasn't born, obviously. Why do you have to make the world for it and make it so infinitely complicated with all the symptoms and all this and all that?
You mean he shouldn't have made the world?
I'm
asking you.
I don't know what he should have done.
Is that your question?
Well, it's foolish for me to say what Hashem would have done, but if I would be Hashem, which of course I'm not.
Thank God.
If I would be Hashem, what do I need the world for? What do I need this complicated system of spheros and whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? What do I need it for?
The answer is one line. Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Lias Leis Barach Dira B'Tachtainim. Hashem wanted a dwelling place in the low world.
What do you have to create the low world for?
Because that's what he had a taiva for.
Okay.
And on a taiva, Tanech Minish King Kashlik, Dalta Rebbe said, meaning, it's not something which is logical, it's not something which is rational, it's not something which could be understood, it's an essential level that's above rationale, meaning Hashem wanted a dwelling place. What's the definition of a dwelling place? Dwelling place means where you reveal yourself as you are. Like we learned many times, when you're in the street, you have to act accordingly. You have to dress accordingly, speak accordingly, you know, do things accordingly. The real person is the person at home. That's the way they really are. The definition of a dira is you eat the way you want, you dress the way you want, you do what you want. That's what you do in your home. Dira means where Hashem could reveal himself the way he wants to be revealed, without any limitations and concealments and contractions and things that force him, so to speak, not even though he made the forcing, not to be revealed. So where did Hashem want this dira? B'tachtonim, in the low world. And as Chassidus asks, and as Tanya asks, if there is Hashem is all over, so what do you mean higher or lower? Well, by definition, higher means closer, lower means further. Right? If you're all over, there is no higher and lower. Correct? You're all over. So what do you mean higher and lower? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the definition of lower means in a world, not only tachtem shein, tachtem lamata imena, that there's nothing lower, meaning a world where godliness is so, not only it's not revealed, it's so concealed in a way that you can say there's no God. Now, how does Hashem create a world that's so anti-God? So that's what we learn in Shaykh of Amunah. That even though the existence of the world is really the power of Hashem keeping in existence, what creates the concept of tachtenim, of this low world that doesn't feel any godliness whatsoever? This is the name of Elohim.
Every single one of these questions is going to be answered when the Mashiach comes.
It's answered now. I just answered you.
Is it going to be clear to me when Mashiach comes?
When Mashiach comes, we're going to see the Dira. We're going to see the way Hashem is going to be revealed as He really is. Le'yikanef eid meirecha, your teacher, will not conceal himself anymore. That will be the revelation of the essence of Hashem as is. But in order for that revelation to take place,
what's the answer to my question?
1 second. In order for the revelation of Elokus to take place, he had to create a world of Tachtainim, that the Jew reveals Elokus in that world, and that makes that when Mashiach comes, the essence of Hashem could be revealed. Now, what was your question?
So the essence of Hashem will be revealed. I will understand why the essence of Hashem wanted to create all of this.
Right.
Okay. But if his desire was to dwell in this world, and where you dwell, the most comfortable way...
Yeah, but he says, we got to be the ones to make the home. We're the builders.
Yeah.
Why Ochen Vey? You do a mitzvah, you build. No, we're making the home for him. Then he got to move in. Because that's what he wanted. Adira b'tachtainim. If Hashem revealed himself, then it's not tachtainim anymore. Then it's not a low world.
Yeah, but why didn't he go direct?
Because Hashem said the dira b'tachtainim means that we make the dira for him. Because he likes unique objects. Hashem likes tzatzkalach. You know what tzatzkalach are? Things that are different. What is it explained in countless maimarim? The concept of the purpose of the neshama is coming into the world is because the neshama in Gan Eden being connected to Hashem is expected. There's no Yetzirah, there's no world, there's no concealment, there's godliness. Of course it's going to behave. So it's not exciting. The excitement is when you have a world which is anti-God and conceals God, and over there a neshama behaves, that is a unique thing. It's like a bird that talks. The uniqueness of a parakeet is that a person talks is normal. Therefore, when they talk, you tell them to be quiet. When the bird speaks, everybody got to listen. And like we said many times, people talk much better than any parrot. Think about it. A person talks much better than the best parrot. But what's so special about a parrot? Because that a human talks is expected. It's normal. That a bird talks is something unique. So Hashem said, to make a dira b'tachtonim, if Hashem reveals himself in a way that the world feels a lokus, so then what's the big deal? As a parent, should the parents do the kids' tests and homework? Trust me, it's much easier. You know what? It's much easier for the parents, instead of hearing the kids whine for 3 hours every night, it'll be much easier if the parents would do the homework themselves. But you know what? Your kids are going to grow up to be dodos. Oh, they are true.
Not true, because unmanageable tests, maybe a hand is a good idea.
A hand? Not doing it. Okay, the difference is, no, you're making a mistake with a big fundamental difference. You're making a big mistake with a fundamental difference. Teachers, there's no students in here now, thank God. Teachers can make mistakes in giving a test that it's too hard of a test. God doesn't make mistakes. When God gives a test, you could do it. And the help, by the way, comes from God. But God helps those who help themselves. So if a person comes along and says, I can't do the homework, it's just forget it, then you don't get help. When the kid starts to do the homework, what does the parent say? Try, and then I'll help you. So God says, I'm the parent, I'm the teacher, I'm giving you the test, and I know better than you what you could do. Because, you know, God doesn't fool himself, or we do. God says, I'm the parent, I'm the teacher, I know exactly what the test you can handle is, and I'm giving you the test, and what I want you is to start it, and you start it, and I will help you. But God says, I'm not going to do it for you. Why not? Because God says, if I do it for you, you're going to stay the same dodo. Yeah, so God gives the first step. He gives you the koyach to do it. But God says, now try it yourself.
Hey, wait, can you say that sometimes? I'm sorry. You want to go on? Go ahead. It's okay.
No, I want to hear your voice.
Thank you. Sometimes you see people, moms go insane from inside. Okay, so you could say that really, I don't know, maybe it's supposed to work there.
I'm going to rephrase your statement and excuse my apikorsis. What you're saying is God made a mistake and God blew it by giving me a test they couldn't handle.
No, I really don't mean that.
But that's what you said. I don't even know what you meant. I know what you said. What you basically said was that if a person is given a test and they go insane, basically what are you saying? That God made a mistake and gave them a test that they couldn't handle.
What's the answer?
The answer is God doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
God gives you the ability to do it. You can choose not to do it. I'll give you an example that Chassidim, I mean, a person can ask. I'll give you an example in marriages and things like that. The Rebbe will give a bracha for a marriage, okay, and then it doesn't work. So what happened? The Rebbe was maskim on the marriage, gave a bracha for the marriage, and it doesn't work. So, it could be a lot of answers. Maybe it was supposed to be for a given amount of time, maybe it was supposed, you know. But one of the answers, which is probably the most positive, well, not the most positive, but the most correct answer of him, it is, the Rebbe says, this marriage could work. Okay? Everybody involved has to want to make it work.
But
1 second. That means that the person is given the ability to make it work. If you choose to go insane or you choose to get a nervous breakdown, that's a different story.
I don't know if that's a choice.
It could be. You know, every case has to be judged individually.
I'm thinking more of like the war, how many people would not be insane.
But to say that God gives a test to a person that can't handle it is saying that God made a mistake. And now I'm going to rephrase the question. I'm going to ask you a question, what you said before, if you would be God. And I said this question many times, and this is fundamental belief in God or not. And don't answer me, because I'm not interested in what you answer. You have to ask yourself a question. And people should ask themselves the following question. If I would be God, would I run the world differently? It's a very important question. I mean, in today's world, a person would say, sure, you know, 100,000 people died in South Asia, right? It's getting there very soon, 100,000 people. That's a lot of people. You know, how does God allow such a thing to happen? What does he do, you know, 6 million or any other terrible, horrific things that take place, right? So the question is, a guy or a woman would think, if I would be God, they would say, then you know what? I would run the world differently. I wouldn't make such things happen, and I wouldn't make people sick, and I wouldn't make people suffer, and I wouldn't make people... I would run the world differently. Whoever even thinks that, forget alone, say it, they're smart enough not to say it, but whoever thinks it is a total apikratus and a non-believer in God. Because God runs the world the best possible way. Just because we're foolish and uneducated and illiterate that we don't understand what God does, doesn't mean that God's wrong. Just like we said many times, the mashal, that a guy who knows nothing about medicine and goes into an operating room and sees a butcher about to cut somebody open and they think murderer because they know nothing about medicine, doesn't mean that the doctor shouldn't do what he has to do because this uneducated illiterate thinks the doctor's killing the patient. Okay? In last week's parsha...
I'm just talking about the one case of a person going insane. I get the whole deal about...
Atem chashavtem alayra. If you look in Chumash, you know, somebody told me, one of the shluchim told me how to give a lecture on this once. If you're a Bible critic that looks at the Bible from a secular perspective, what do they have now? These reality shows about dysfunctional families? What? I don't know what they're called. I hear about it. Okay, whatever. You should know about it. If you look at the whole Chumash Bereishis, you would think that our ancestors were a bunch of dysfunctional people. Start from day one. Cain gets jealous of his brother, he kills him. Day one, Cain kills Abel. Then you have a guy, Terach, throwing his son, Avram, into a fire. Then you have a fight between Yitzchak and Yishmael. Then you have a fight between Yaakov and Esav. These are all brothers, right? With great parents. And then you have Yosef and his brothers. I mean, what is it, a bunch of dysfunctional family? And you can go on parsha by parsha, which seemingly looks like a bunch of dysfunctional families. Yet, to sum it all up, in last week's parsha, at the end of and middle of Vayechi, what did Yosef say to the brothers after Yaakov died? Atem, change the tune; it's getting boring. Atem, chashavtem olai ro. You thought this was bad. Alakim chashav olotayv. God made it good, and the outcome over there, they were fortunate to see, after 22 years, not right away. It took 22 years for the brothers and Yosef and everybody to see the good that came out of the fact that the brothers threw Yosef into a pit and sold him as a slave and all that.
Okay, let me clarify. I think all the suffering is fantastic. I'm just talking about if someone goes insane. They didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance.
I want to correct one thing that you said.
Yeah.
The Jew's attitude should be, my suffering is fantastic, exactly. Not somebody else's.
Only my
right.
Suffering is awesome.
No, that's what a Jew should think.
I know that. No, everyone else's suffering is terrible.
Right.
My suffering is awesome.
But it is.
But when I know, I love it.
Not yours, mine. Because I can't. No, it's if you, no. That's
it's an ayom yom.
Whatever.
But the thing is, my question is: this was the question. It's a small question, not a big question. If someone goes insane, right, like the when the soil broke them, mentally broke them. They didn't have a chance in a way to overcome the Nisoyan. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Are you saying if they would have had enough amuna, they wouldn't have gotten broken by it?
If they would have handled it the right way,
yeah.
Most, I'm not God.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know. Most probably,
thank God.
Most probable, if it was handled correctly, they would have been able to overcome it. Yes. Is it part of God's plan? Yeah, because Hashem knew that was going to happen.
You think Hashem listens to the devil?
No, I think we do. Not Hashem.
What about Kitrug, let's say?
Kitrugim, if you learn Midrashim, you learn Gemara, you learn Chassidus, you see Hashem doesn't listen to them. If Hashem listened to the Kitrugim that the Satan has against us, we wouldn't be here. Yeah, but not 6 million, all 18 million. What?
You know, that's true. I hate to go off on another tangent. I'm really sorry, but this is so interesting. I'll look at the clock. Listen, if the thing with the kitchen, what you just...
I'm looking how long I'm suffering.
Doing something, oh, there's a kitchen, we have to do this.
Because
to the
let me answer a very simple question. Yeah. If somebody's sick, should we daven or not?
Yeah.
Why? Why are we mixing into his business?
So he should get better. But
why? But no, if Hashem wants him to get better, we'll make better. If it doesn't want, it won't get. Why are we mixing?
Hashem doesn't listen to us, okay? Just listen.
It's the same question. Tzaddik can mix into a kitchen because God says, I want you to mix into my business.
Okay, thank you. That was all I wanted to know.
Well, I answered you. When a person is sick, a person davens. Yeah. Why? Because Hashem said, mix into my business.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, it's a Gemara and it's a Pasuk in Mishpatim. You know that there are religions, Scientology and the other Shtusim, that maintain that you can't mix into God's business if somebody's sick, you know, no doctors and don't...
That's not Scientology. That's Christian scientists.
Okay. You see, I'm not perfect. I'm not God. So the question is, basically, it's a question in Torah also. Where do we see that a doctor has permission to heal? The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, the fact that the Torah says, you have to pay the doctor bills, meaning you have to get healed, shows that Hashem gives the doctor permission to heal. And without those two words, the Torah basically is saying, without those two words, a doctor wouldn't be able to heal. Because don't mix into God's business. What does Verapa Yerape say? God says, mix into my business. Somebody's sick? Dapikeira says to Rabbi Akiva. If your God loves poor people, right? And therefore, he keeps hacking at China, tzedakah, 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 you know, all the. If God likes him, why didn't he just make him wealthy? What's the question? The question of deepest significance means that Apikeres asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you mixing into God's business? If God made the person poor, let him stay poor. If God made him sick, let him stay sick. Why are you mixing into God's business? What's the answer? Because God says, mix into my business. That's what I want. That's part of Dira V'Tachtenim. Part of Dira V'Tachtenim is to mix into my business, to do chesed to somebody that seemingly doesn't deserve it. What do you mean he doesn't deserve it? God made him sick and chose seemingly that he doesn't deserve to be healthy. God made him poor, seemingly chose that Hashem doesn't want him to be rich. So Hashem says, you know what? I want you to go against me. In these things, I want you to go against me. I made him poor. You know why I made him poor? That you should give tzedakah. Why? Because the Gemara says the poor man does more for the rich man than the rich man does for the poor man. By tzedakah. The rich man gives him a lousy buck. And the poor man gave him the opportunity to do a mitzvah which is priceless.
And the poor man looks at the rich man and says, you can pass your test, being that he doesn't have that test. He's going to look at the poor man.
But he has different tests. No, but he has different tests, the rich man. And the rich... And the Gemara... Excuse me. The Gemara says that the test of wealth is harder than the test of poverty. It depends what wealth means. What's wealth? That's another question. But the test of wealth is infinitely harder than the test of poverty. And you know where you see it clearly? In Yiddishkeit. Forget individuals. When the Jews were oppressed for being Jews, the assimilation rate was null, nil, nothing. And now that we have all the freedom, and the more freedom we have, the more assimilation there is.
That's not true.
What? When is there more? Did they never have 60% assimilation rate? 60% assimilation rate, you know what that is?
I think there's a lot of assimilation in Poland.
No. No.
Okay,